Iran and the Element of Insanity. Commentary. Perhaps my favorite headline so far regarding the Iranian attack against Israel this past weekend is this gem: Iran warns of stronger response if Israel retaliates to attack. I wonder if the Japanese issued a similar bulletin on December 8, 1941, the day after the day that lives in infamy. If they did, President Franklin Roosevelt and his military staff, not to mention the American people en masse, would have laughed in their metaphorical faces. It would not have been a pleasant laugh, either. It would have been appropriate, though, as would the definitive actions that followed. On Saturday night, Iran launched more than 300 drones and ballistic missiles toward Israel. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said that Israel's air defenses, aided by Jordan and the United States, foiled the attack. 99% of the missiles and drones were shot down. Still, there was physical damage to a military base, and at least 9 people were injured. One 10-year-old girl is in intensive care. Much has been made of the fact that this attack was the first ever direct assault from Iran on Israel. But Iranian proxies, including Hamas in Gaza, Hezbollah, and the Houthis in Yemen, have been waging a proxy war against Israel for decades. Iran says its direct attack was in response to Israel's bombing of the Iranian consulate in Damascus, Syria, earlier this month. But that action, which killed at least 7 senior Iranian commanders overseeing Iran's covert operations against Israel, including Kingpin General Mohammad Reza Zahidi, was itself part of Israel's larger campaign of self-defense in response to the October 7 slaughter conducted by Hamas against Israel. That atrocity appalled the civilized world. In a coordinated assault, planned by Iran, Hamas raped, tortured, and indiscriminately killed some 1,200 people, including infants, children, and the elderly. The carnage was horrific. Hamas also took some 250 people, again including infants and the elderly, hostage. Some have been released. Probably most, if not all, of the rest are dead. Before the Iranian attack, many in the hand-wringing class were calling for Israel to agree to a ceasefire. In fact, Israel has several times agreed to a ceasefire, under 2 conditions. Hamas must surrender. And the hostages must be released. As I noted, there are probably few or no hostages left to release. And Hamas, dedicated since its inception in 1988 to the destruction of Israel and the murder of Jews, is not going to surrender. Nor is Israel going to forsake its self-defense. For those who bemoan civilian casualties in Gaza, I note that Israel has conducted itself with uncommon, perhaps unprecedented, care in limiting civilian casualties. The British military historian Andrew Roberts recently pointed out that the ratio of civilians to Hamas terrorists killed is less than 2-to-1, an extraordinarily low figure for urban warfare, especially given the fact that Hamas deliberately uses civilians as human shields, locating its military assets beneath or adjacent to homes, hospitals, mosques, and the like. The most pertinent description of Israel's behavior in response to this latest round of attacks on its people and its sovereignty was summed up in a French apothegm. Cet animal est très méchant, quand on l'attaque il se défend. This animal is very unpleasant. When one attacks it, it defends itself. Is Israel's response disproportionate? Faced with the fact of wholesale slaughter and the promise of annihilation, I believe a determined effort to remove the threat is not only proportionate, it is ultimately humane and eminently rational. Mention of what is rational brings me to an aspect of Iran's behavior that is seldom acknowledged, but that explains a lot. I mean the large element of insanity that informs its actions and the actions of its proxies in Gaza, Lebanon, and elsewhere. The Iranians are an intelligent and talented people. The mullahs that govern them are, to speak frankly, nuts. And they are self-confessedly murderous nuts to boot. Iran is the world's largest exporter of terror. The Ayatollah Khomeini returned to Iran in 1979 and instantly transformed it from a secular state into a theocratic totalitarian despotism. Here he is in a speech from December 1984. If one allows the infidels to continue playing their role of corruptors on earth, their eventual moral punishment will be all the stronger. Thus, if we kill the infidels in order to put a stop to their activities, we have indeed done them a service. As Francisco said in another context, for this relief much thanks. To allow the infidels to stay alive means to let them do more corrupting. Is a surgical operation commanded by Allah the Creator. Those who follow the rules of the Quran are aware that we have to kill. This is what Israel is up against. In my high school, teachers would often tell us boys verbum sapienti satis est, a word to the wise is sufficient. It appears that the Biden administration has yet to receive that memo. The Islamic Republic of Iran has never been anything but clear in its aims. Death to America and death to Israel are its favorite refrains. Yet just last month the Biden administration granted that terror exporting headquarters a waiver to allow it access to $10 billion. And here I was talking about rational behavior.